Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks be to God.
All right. Good evening. We are in the midst of a series of studies on, the title is Love Does. And tonight we're talking about Love is Willing. I'm not sure if I'm the only one. I wonder if any of you guys like to hear covers of songs. In other words, that is where somebody takes an original song and then they do their little spin on it. Here's a couple of freebies for you. I have a friend who has a playlist called Don't Hog the Covers, where he invites people to share with him songs they enjoy. You know Johnny Cash's song, I Walk the Line? This lady named Halsey did an amazing version of that that I love. And another free one is Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by a gal named Sarah Breas, I think, or something like that. Tremendous. I've been listening to that a lot lately. Those of you who are older than me, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, looking for a different version of that, just Google that and a fellow named Israel, a Hawaiian fellow who covered Somewhere Over the Rainbow and did it wonderfully. What's up with all the cover talk? What I'm going to speak to you about tonight, the willingness of Jesus. A lot of what I'm saying, I'm covering someone. Paul Tripp, in his book, Come, Let Us Adore Him, talks about the things that I'm talking about tonight, and I've been sitting with them for about a month. It's my privilege and part of my duties here as we, you know, look months ahead. This book is going to be highlighted this Advent season for us in our bookstore and all around the church, by Paul Tripp, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. And so I've been spending some time in it and have been particularly gripped by this meditation. And so you're going to get my cover of Paul Tripp's thoughts on the willingness of Jesus. So that's what we're doing, mostly out of Hebrews 12. So you want to keep your finger there. The first thing that we're going to look at before we look at the willingness of Jesus and what it means that love is willing, is to think about our own unwillingness. Our unwillingness, it's sort of something that we don't talk much, or I don't think much about. I don't know if you've noticed in our day when somebody messes up, we kind of like to talk about it in the passive voice. You know, you'll often see somebody come out and say, mistakes were made. You know, which is different than I messed up. And so sometimes when we think about ways that we don't follow through in following the Lord, we like to talk in terms of I got sidetracked, missed a step there. You know, it just feels a lot more responsible if we say, I was unwilling in that moment. So I'm going to think in terms of our unwillingness, first of all. And so I just kind of cataloged my own life and some of y'all in thinking about things that we are often unwilling to do. How often are we unwilling to wait? Unwilling to be inconvenienced. Unwilling to leverage the power and privilege that we've been given on behalf of the least of these. Is there an unwillingness to make yourself vulnerable? Do you find yourself unwilling to listen to the other side? It's a great problem in our day, whether it's in families or whether it's politically or at work or what have you, an unwillingness to listen to the other side. An unwillingness to be open and honest, an unwillingness to say no to destructive thoughts and behaviors, an unwillingness to stand your ground, an unwillingness to be content with God's timing and His amounts and His plans for your life? Is there an unwillingness to spend time with those who are outside of your little circle, who think exactly the way I think? Is there an unwillingness to give grace? An unwillingness to make commitments that cause you to be committed to very good things? Is there an unwillingness to greet someone you don't know at church and seek to bring them in and befriend them and make them welcome? I won't use a name, but I was so encouraged the other day at church when I was blown off by a fellow. I was trying to talk to him and he said, "I've got to go because there's a fellow who's just begun attending this church and I got to see if he's here and make sure he's okay." And I said, "I've never been happier to be dismissed because of your willingness to take ownership for a guest and see that he's cared for." Is there an unwillingness to ask for help? Are you unwilling to invite people? I'm not going to go on and on, but is there an unwillingness to forgive, to unplug, to reflect and to think? An unwillingness to go the extra mile, to speak the truth when it might ruffle feathers? Unwilling to admit that you're wrong? Unwilling to shut your mouth or, bite your tongue? Can I give you a little Bonhoeffer? This is from his book, Life Together. And chapter 4 of that book, I think, is just an ultimate primer for church membership. And he's got... And I know I've shared this with you before, but y'all keep doing it, so I'm going to share it again. The ministry of holding one's tongue. This is murderous to an extrovert know-it-all like me. Often we combat our evil thoughts most effectively if we absolutely refuse to allow them to be expressed in words. It is certain that the spirit of self-justification can be overcome only by the spirit of grace. Nevertheless, isolated thoughts of judgment can be curbed and smothered by never allowing them the right to be uttered except as a confession of sin. He who holds his tongue in check controls both mind and body. Thus, it must be a decisive rule of every Christian fellowship that each individual is prohibited from saying much that occurs to him. I love the way he formally said that. Because, you think of the stuff that occurs to you. And we don't have to say it. But often we're unwilling to do the ministry of holding our tongue about a situation, about a person. And so, there is this pattern of habitual unwillingness that we see for ourselves, in our own lives. Well, against that we see Hebrews chapter 12, which says this, and just reading again what Brian said and then sneaking into the third verse as well. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Here you go. Looking to Jesus. The writer of Hebrews believes that if we're going to make any progress in the hard things of following Jesus, it will be as we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him. Remember before, it was look to him. Here he says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that, why? So that we might not grow weary or faint-hearted. So you see the pattern in Hebrews, pattern in all of the Scripture. We're called to hard things. We're called to difficult things. And those will only happen as we are gazing upon and being strengthened by Jesus. That's why twice, right here, he says, look to him, consider him, so that you don't get worn out, so that you're not faint-hearted. But just this, consider him who endured. The willingness of Jesus. Can we just meditate on that for a moment? Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of eternity to come to this broken and groaning world. He was willing to take on flesh with all its frailty. You know, as my body is getting older, it's made me think how I would love to communicate to a young person. I can't tell you how unfreeing, how difficult it would be for you to enter my aging body, to not be able to jump off a roof and not think about it, to all these hindrances, you know, that just come with age. And how much more that Jesus, the King of the universe, would say, I'm going to bind myself in that little 5-foot whatever Jewish body, and that's where I'll be. That he was willing to take on flesh with all its frailty. That Jesus was willing to endure an embarrassing birth situation. That Jesus was willing to go through the dependency of childhood. That Jesus was willing to expose himself to the hardships of life in this fallen world. That Jesus was willing to submit himself to his own law. Can you imagine if you made the 55 mile or 65 mile an hour speed law and yet you were Dale Earnhardt and you drove a Lamborghini and yet you still say, I'm going to submit to that law that I've made? Jesus could do anything, submits to the laws that he's made. Jesus was willing to do his Father's will at every point. And just so we know that it wasn't ever a breeze, we get this glimpse of him in the garden on the eve of his death, where his willingness is tested, where he just tells God flat out how much he would rather do anything else than what his Father's calling him to do. And yet he was willing. And yet Jesus was willing. He was willing to serve when he deserved to be served. He was willing to be misunderstood and mistreated. He was willing to endure rejection and gross injustice. He was willing to preach a message that would cause personal harm. He was willing to say no to the crowds and to ministry. He said no so that he could be alone and be with his Father. He was willing to suffer publicly. He was willing to take on every one of your sins. He was willing to say, give those to me. They're mine. He was willing to endure physical torture. He was willing to go through the pain of the Father's rejection. Jesus was willing. He was willing. He was willing. He was willing. At every turn, Jesus said yes to the requirements of his own law and his own Father. Where would we be without the willingness of Jesus? Where would we be without it? Friday night before last, I went over to beautiful Starkville, Mississippi, and visited my parents. And on Friday night, I'd carried my dog, and he needed to stretch his legs. And I took him out, and I could hear in the distance at Starkville High School the crowd roaring in a football game reminded me of how they used to do it when I was there. Not on the field, but in the stands. And, you know, I start to think about the goodness of God with the parents that I have, and just where would my life be without their constant and faithful love and support at all these different stages of my life and development and ups and downs and all of that. And then I visited with one of my teachers and just got emotional thinking about how deeply his thumbprint is on me, and thinking, where would I be without these things? And how much more, where would I be without the willingness of Jesus? Where would you be? We would be, the Bible tells us, we would be without hope. Without hope. This coming Lord's Day, we're going to have somebody come and talk to us about hope healing, the healing power of hope. And we couldn't have them except for the willingness of Jesus, that he's purchased all of that hope. Where would we be? We would be left under the power and the curse of sin. This morning we sang together, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. And you do know we're meant to sing those kinds of things as if we are sticking it in the face of the evil one. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on us. Where would we be without the willingness of Jesus? We would still be enslaved. We would still be bound. There would be no sermon series on freedom. All of this is because of the willingness of Jesus. We would be eternally damned without his willingness. We would be unable to enjoy the goodness of this life. I've been reading the book of Ecclesiastes with some men, and it's been so refreshing to be reminded that that book tells us you cannot grab what you want out of life, but if you open your hands by faith and receive from the Lord Jesus all the goodness that he has in creation through food and drink and through work and through relationships, life is a gift to be received, and it tastes great when it is received as a gift received from the Father's hands. Where would we be without the willingness of Jesus? We couldn't enjoy this life. But we have the willingness of Jesus. It has purchased us. And here's the final point, and that is that we have the ongoing and promised continued willingness of Jesus. As we consider him, let's consider that right now, right here, Jesus stands ready to continually being willing to do many things. I'll just give you a few. He is willing to love you on your very worst day. He is willing to see you and delight in you as the Father's beloved child. You know, last week, I had the privilege of sitting over here, and we had children's choir, and I watch all these cherubs come up front, and then I watch all of you. And I wish you could see. You smile, and I think some of you who have been here a while, you might be making connections. That's so-and-so's child. Wow, look at how they've grown. All of these things as they sort of get themselves together. And I want to say, I wish that you could see God as he watches you come through those doors. That what you feel in your heart as you look at these, that he sees you in that way, that he says, oh, look at them. Look at them walking up there, how they've grown. Look at them. They are precious in my sight. The ongoing willingness of Jesus to see you as the Father sees you. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. The willingness of Jesus right here, right now, to be patient with you as you grow and as you mature. Right here, right now, Jesus willing to battle evil on your behalf. Evil that is out there in the world and against you. And evil that is still in here that we deal with. Jesus stands ready and willing to battle on your behalf. Right here, right now, Jesus also stands willing to partner with you as you enter the battle. What part
of this broken world breaks your heart and you want to see it undone? What part of the injustice of this world makes you beautifully angry and you know it's not the way God designed it and you want to be a part of restoring it and healing it? He stands ready to get in there with you. Right now, Jesus stands ready and willing to teach you through his word. We pray together singing, "Speak, O Lord, teach us full obedience from your holy word." And he's ready. He is willing and ready right now to supply every one of your spiritual needs. He's willing right now to be faithful when you're not. Jesus is willing to empower you when you're weak and to restore you when you have fallen. Jesus is ready and willing to comfort you when you are discouraged and to protect you when you've stepped into danger. Jesus remains willing and ready to do everything necessary to feed and guide, sustain and protect you until he gets you home. Jesus is willing to this day. And we hang our hopes on that, and we hang our future on that, and we hang all that we are on that. I love the way that the Message puts Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. He says, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostilities that Jesus plowed right through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Beloved, love is willing. Jesus is always love personified. And the Jesus who endures is the Jesus who was and is willing. And that's who has bound you to himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, ruling, reigning, willing Lord Jesus Christ. And it is as we know that he is willing and he is at work in us that we're empowered and freed to move forward. I'm closing by reading 12:1-3 once more. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pray. Almighty God, we bless you and honor you and adore you. You stand alone. You alone have been willing at every turn. And it is out, and you have, in that willingness, you have purchased us. Men, women, and children from every tribe, tongue, and nation purchased us for God. And so would you, as you are recreating us after your own image, would you work in us that the willing love we received and receive from you would issue forth in us, that we would find flowing from our hearts a willingness to love our neighbor for the glory of King Jesus and in the strength of his Spirit. We ask, amen and amen.